accent.
Hi, everybody.
Welcome back.
Hope you had a good weekend. Just to get a couple administrative things taken out of the way. Homework 3 should now have been turned back. That's what the message I got from Bethany. So if you have any troubles with that, let us know. And Bethany's the one taking care of all the actual assigning numbers to things. So she's the one who actually needs to know what your question is. But if it's some sort of higher level course question, you can CC me on that as well and make sure that it gets taken care of. What else? So it's a midterm. We have about 98 midterms got handed in. I've graded now 2 of them. So at this pace, we should be done sometime in 2010. So that's great. I imagine it will start getting faster now that I've actually gone through and seen what some of the answers look like. It'll pick up speed. But in the process of doing that, I discovered there was at least 2 people who are on the Sakai site who didn't take the midterm. John Lamb and Frederick Wongi. Did anybody know those guys? Are they here? I suspect not. All right. If you know them and you run across them, let them know that they still seem to be officially in the class, but they don't seem to be in the class. Kyle Sterling is the opposite. What's that? Is that you?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, how are you now?
Okay. So you're an interesting case. I've never had, in all my years of teaching, this has never happened before. Someone took the midterm who I didn't know was in the class. So we should probably, do you know, you'll answer the email, I guess. We don't have to do this in front of everybody if you don't want to.
Should be taken care of Friday, the end of the week.
Oh, okay, all right. But this was the...
I got the special permission number from you in the beginning.
Right. But you wouldn't have gotten any announcements, or you wouldn't have access to any... You wouldn't be able to hand in any homework?
I asked you at the first homework.
Okay.
You're going to add me to Sakai. You can do it just by my email.
I can. So if you send me an email saying that, then it will happen. If you don't, then I will... Yeah. And then we'll have this conversation again next time. And you're like, don't you remember? Like, no. I run completely state-free. I have no short-term memory.
Trying to, I guess, or something else.
Okay, all right. sorry about that, everybody. So that's great. I'm glad that those are mostly taken care of. And one other person wasn't here but knew she was sick, and we'll take care of that. I think that's, the Wednesday right before Thanksgiving is a Friday schedule, and since this isn't a Friday class, even though it's a Wednesday, we won't meet. Other than that, I don't think there's any other surprises coming up. Okay, any other administrative questions or issues or concerns? Otherwise, we'll just keep plugging ahead. If you're somebody who got a warning, the recent round of warnings that came up, I'm hoping that you resolved that by handing in the things that were missing. And if that is so, that's great. If not, then you should resolve that by handing in the things that are missing. All right, so... last time we talked about modulus arithmetic, sort of out of the blue, and there are a couple things that we used that for. One was to come up with faster algorithms for realizing when something was divisible by 5 or not. But I also taught you a trick that really centered on this question of divisibility by 9. And I thought it was kind of a fun and useful trick. So I'm wondering if you can actually, if you remember how the trick went. So the question is, I'm thinking of a 5-digit number. I scramble the digits to get a second number. I subtract the smaller from the bigger. And the answer to that is 4 digits that are something, 9, 7, and 0. And the question is, what's the something in my answer? Thank you. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. All right, stop it. All right, so the essence of this trick was the fact that any number, any decimal number, the sum of its digits mod 9, in other words, the remainder that you get when you divide it by 9, is the same as the original number mod 9. So it doesn't change the remainder when you divide it by 9 to take a number or to sum up all the digits in the number. Because that's true, whatever number it is I originally thought of has the property, well, it has some particular remainder when you divide it by 9. And then when I scramble it, that doesn't change the remainder. So when I subtract one of those from the other, I get a number that has to be divisible by 9, because those remainders end up canceling in the subtraction. So I'm thinking of some number that's divisible by 9, and that number is something 970. Well, if it's a number that's divisible by 9, it has to add up to something that's divisible by 9, the digits in the number. So the number that's missing, the question mark, has to be something that makes 9 plus 7 plus 0 plus that number be something divisible by 9. So 9 plus 7 is 16, 17, 18 gets us up to something that's a multiple of 9, so the missing digit has to be a 2. So that's the magic trick. So you do this to people, and they're quite mystified by your mathematical prowess. And that's most of what people say. All right, any questions about that? Do you get the step? So basically, all this boiled down to is, what number do I need to fill in there so that the sum of the digits is divisible by 9? It's sort of similar to the barcode in a sense, right? So barcode was all about what number is missing so that you get something that has a certain divisibility property. But here the divisibility by 9 instead of 10. All right, next question. Try to do these fast. Because now that you know the tricks, it should be relatively easy to do this. So here's a bunch of numbers, 25 three-digit numbers. I'm going to ask you two questions about those numbers. Is the median of this list 688? That's the first question. And the second question, is the maximum in this list 976? So answer those two questions. It's either no, 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 yes, yes, no, or yes, yes. And choose accordingly. Well, the max one I think probably isn't hard for anybody. You take the number that was the max that we're asking about. 976 is a number we want to know, is that the largest? All we have to do is go looking through the list and see if there's a number that's larger than it. And if there is, then it's not the max. If we also have to make sure that number itself is in the list, which it is. It's in the bottom row, in the second to last position. So that number's in there. If there's a number that's bigger than it in there, then it's not the max. Otherwise, it is. So we go scanning through, and we see 984 in the second row. So we know 976 is not the max. All right, but what about the median? So to figure out the median, what we were always taught is you take the numbers and you sort them and see which one is in the middle. And if 688 is in the middle, then it's the median. That's actually kind of, it takes a while to do that, and there's something faster that you can do. So in this case, all you have to do is count up how many numbers are, well, since there's only one 976, how many numbers are strictly smaller than that? And if it's exactly 12, then 976 would be in the middle if you sorted them, and it would be the median. If it's anything other than 12, then it's not the median. So we just go through and we count. We've got 688, wait, is the median 688? Oh, there's 688. So 509 is smaller, 153 is smaller, 661 is smaller, 166 is smaller, 155 is smaller, 240 is smaller. Running out of fingers. 528 is smaller, 616 is smaller, 489 is smaller, 528 is smaller, 550 is smaller, and 377 is smaller. So there's exactly, I broke the chart. There's exactly 12 that are smaller, so it is the median. We don't have to sort it. We don't have to do any of that. We just have to count up how many were smaller. So that should give us the answer. Mostly what, almost half people said that. Okay? Oh, the choices were no, 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 yes, yes, no, and yes, yes. Alrighty. Same list of numbers, slightly different question. Is the sum of these set of numbers divisible by 5? Is the first question. And is the product of this set of numbers divisible by 5? Is the second question. And again, the choices are A is no, no, B is no, yes, C is yes, no, and D is yes, yes. Questions is the product one, because we don't actually have to do anything than just check to see if any of the numbers in the list end with 0 or 5. So we just skim through and like, oh, well, there's 550. So when we multiply all these things up, we know that there's at least one number that already is divisible by 5 in there. Therefore, the product has to be divisible by 5. So the answer to the product question is yes. What about the sum question? So the sum question, we can go through and add up the units digits with wraparound at 5. So we start off with 79, which is, with a wraparound at 5, that's actually 4. So 4 plus 3, 1, 2, 3, plus 4, plus 3, 1, 2, 3, plus 1, plus 2, plus 1, plus 0, plus 4, plus 1, plus 0, plus 4, plus 4, plus 0, plus 0, plus 3, plus 3, plus 1, plus 4, plus 3, plus 3, plus 3, plus 1, plus 2. So I got it, it was divisible, it's a remainder of 4 if you divide it by 5. So it's not divisible by 5. And that was the same answer I got the other time, so I have some confidence in it now. So, yes. So the majority answer is the correct one. All right? If anybody doesn't remember or doesn't understand how to do this fast, let me know, and I'll sum it up again. Yeah.
Could you try to go over how to actually the shortcut that you did to figure out the sum?
The sum one?
Yeah.
All right, so it was that thing I was just doing on my finger a second ago. Right, so you look at this number. What's this number, this 879? What is it? What's the remainder when you divide it by 5?
So, like, you sum up all the digits?
No, so for divisibility by 5, all you have to do is check the bottom digit.
Okay.
And if it's bigger than 5, subtract 5 from it. Otherwise, it gives you the remainder.
Okay, so that would be 4.
So this one is 4, exactly. All right, so this one's 4, this one's 3, add those up, you get 7, but 7 is bigger than 5, so we can subtract 5 from it, we get 2, and we just keep doing that. We just keep adding in the units digit with wraparound at 5.
Okay.
And I just went through and did the whole list that way. But that was as short as the shortcut got.
Okay.
All right, so that was that. All right, we good? More or less? About half of everybody is good, probabilistically. The two midterms I graded so far were both over 90. So that means everybody, statistically, that means everybody's over 90. All right, so the plan today is to do some singing, because apparently anything in computer science that you need to understand at all reduces back to singing. So here's what we're going to do. We were talking about different algorithms, for example, algorithms for finding the median or determining whether a certain value is the median, and algorithms for sorting socks. And the way that computer scientists like to compare algorithms to see how good they are is to see how the time that it takes to solve a problem grows as the size of the problem grows. So how long does it take to sort the socks as the number of socks grows? How long does it take to find if a product of a list of numbers is divisible by 5 as the length of that list grows? And so I find that people don't immediately latch on to this concept. So I'll try to introduce it in this sort of simpler way that people also don't seem to be able to latch on to. But we're going to do our best. We're going to do everything that we can to make this make sense. And what I'm going to do is talk about how the number of syllables in a song grows as the number of verses of the song grows. So if it's got n, you know, n verses for some value of n, how many syllables does it have? And so that's, it turns out that the common kinds of songs only fall into a couple different patterns, and it turns out that those patterns are very similar to the patterns that algorithms tend to fall into. So it turns out to be rather convenient. We can make a direct connection between structures of songs and structures of algorithms. So that's what we're going to do. All right, so to do this, We're going to go from very simple, straightforward kinds of songs, which are actually not very different from the simple algorithms on the lists, to more elaborate kinds of songs that are going to be analogous to other algorithms. So the first thing I need to do is, because we're talking about how the number of syllables grows as the number of verses grows, we need to think about songs that can have an arbitrary number of verses. For any value of n, there's a version of the song that has n verses. And so to do this, you have to generalize songs that we already have lying around. So the first one that I'll tell you about, since we did Christmas lights, I think it's okay if I tell you about the generalized dreidel song. I assume that people have heard this song in one form or another. But now I've generalized it so that it can be sung with any number of verses. So I'll sing the first verse in case you haven't seen this song in a while. It goes, I had a little dreidel, I made it out of clay, and when it's dry and ready, oh dreidel, I shall play. Oh dreidel, 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 I made it out of clay, and when it's dry and ready, oh dreidel, I shall play. So that was verse 1 and the chorus. We'll call that a unit. But we can generalize the song and make it have more verses by making dreidels out of other things. So, I had a little dreidel, I made it out of plastic, if someone steals my dreidel, I'll do something very drastic. Oh, dreidel, 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 I made it out of plastic. And, like that. We can make it out of glass, chocolate, wood. If you want to name some things, I'll make up dreidel verses for dreidels made out of those things. That could be fun, but maybe only for me. So you get the concept here. We can make a dreidel song of any length as long as we can keep thinking of things to make dreidels out of. So for any value of n, there's a generalized dreidel song with n verses in it. Okay? We good? Straightforward enough concept. So now we're going to turn this into a table. We're going to say, all right, if you actually go and sing that dreidel song and count up the number of syllables, the version of the song that's one verse long, you just sing the first verse and it's done, had 51 syllables. You just count them up. The version of the song that has two verses, where you sing that first verse and then you sing the second verse, the total number of syllables that you sing becomes 109. And there's something because this plastic doesn't scan quite right, so it ends up being a little bit more. A three-verse version of the song, where you sing about dreidels made out of clay and dreidels made out of plastic and dreidels made out of glass, the total number of syllables in that song is 161, and so on. All right? So with me so far? So now we're going to go from this table. We're going to make a graph out of it. Here's what the graph looks like. On the x-axis is the number of verses in the song. On the y-axis is the number of syllables if you sing a whole song with that number of verses. And why is it growing? You can see that it's getting bigger. As the number of verses gets bigger, the number of syllables gets bigger. Why is that? That's what it means to have more verses, right? You're singing more stuff. All right, so we're good so far? What shape is that? Okay, so wake up for a moment. What shape is that curve? It's a linear, or it's the shape of the, it's a line. It itself is a line, so the growth rate is linear. So as the number of verses goes up, the number of syllables goes up, not exactly, because you can throw in extra syllables and take out syllables and so forth, but it's basically 54 times n. There's basically 54 syllables in each verse, and so if we do a song with n verses, the total is like 54 times n. Okay, does that make sense? We good? I want you to get this, because it's going to get more elaborate as we get to different kinds of songs. But this is the simple one. We can get the overall concept, and then we can start elaborating on it. But we call this linear growth, because if you plot it, it looks like a line. Linear growth, in general, looks something like the number of syllables, t of n, for an n-verse song, is like some constant times the number of verses, n. So that's generally what linear looks like. All right, here's a more elaborate song. This is just the fourth verse all by itself of the Old MacDonald song. So you remember we did the Old MacDonald song in Scratch, and we had a series of animals. And we can make Old MacDonald songs of arbitrary length, right? All we need to do is just keep coming up with more and more animals. So if we wanted a 10-verse song, we'd need 10 animals and whatever it is their noises were. And then we've got an Old MacDonald song with 10 verses. So this is just the fourth verse out of an Old MacDonald song. Old MacDonald had a farm, E-I-E-I-O, and on this farm he had a chick, E-I-E-I-O, with a cluck cluck here and a cluck cluck there, a cluck there, a cluck everywhere, cluck cluck. And now we sing the animals from the previous verses. With a nay-nay here and a nay-nay there, a nay, there a nay, everywhere a nay-nay, with a here and a there, there, everywhere. With moo moo here and moo moo there, moo there, moo everywhere, moo moo. Old MacDonald had a farm, E-I-E-I-O. So that's verse 4. If we were doing a whole 4-verse song, we'd sing verse 1, verse 2, verse 3, and this verse 4. Now let's count up the syllables here. This verse 4 consists of a bunch of different pieces. There's this initial 25-syllable part that's the same for all the verses. There's this ending part that's 12 syllables, that's the same for all the verses. There's the animal that's specific to this verse, part of the verse, which is about 22 syllables. Then we have these 22 syllable blocks that come from all the previous verses. And there's three of those in this case because we're on the fourth verse, right? We have to sing the animal from verse 3, verse 2, and verse 1. Add all these up, that's 37. Plus 4 times 22, or 125 syllables. So verse 4, all by itself, is 125 syllables. A whole four-verse song is you sing verse 1, you sing verse 2, you sing verse 3, and you sing verse 4. In other words, you get 37 plus 1 times 22, plus 37 plus 2 times 22, plus 37 plus 3 times 22 for the third verse, 37 plus 4 times 22 for the fourth verse, and the whole song, a four-verse version of Old MacDonald, is a total of 368 solos. This isn't information that you directly need, but I'm trying to get at where's the total coming from? Where are these syllables coming from? And partly they're coming from repeating these animal noises from the previous verses. So again, we can do the same thing. We can imagine an eight-verse version of the song, and for each of those different verse lengths, I can sum up the total. So I just said that the four-verse version was 368. Did I say that? Yes, okay. But I also worked out with the three verses, the two verses, the one verses, all the way up to eight verses. All right, so each of these has a different count. And if we plot them, looks kind of like a line, right? So again, the bottom axis is the number of verses. I did Old MacDonald all the way up to an eight-verse version of Old MacDonald. And for each one, I put a dot at the height, which is the number of syllables in that version of the song. And it looks kind of straight, but does it look straight? Does it bend at all? Do you see a bend? Where's the bend? What kind of bend? It's kind of bending up a little bit, right? It's sort of starting to trend upwards. Does that make sense? Why would it be doing that? If it's starting to bend upwards, that means that as we add another verse onto the end of the song, that verse is actually a little bit longer than the verses that came before it. That's why it's starting to bend upwards. It's not just following a straight line where each verse is exactly the same length. It's bending upwards because each verse is getting a little bit longer than the verses before it. Does that make sense? Yeah, that's how the Old MacDonald song goes, right? Each verse has inside of it a little summary of the previous verses. And since as you get longer and longer into the song, there's more and more to summarize, the verses are getting longer and longer. In fact, if it was a little hard to see in the previous plot, I didn't actually sing this, but I extrapolated what would happen with a 19-verse version of Old MacDonald. First of all, someone would be killed for singing such a thing. But nevertheless, if we can at least in the abstract say, it would end up taking about 5,000 syllables, and now the upward bowing of the curve is really very easy to see. Right? This is not a line. This is definitely not a line. This is something that's actually accelerating as it's going up. So what would an expression be for the total number of syllables in the Old MacDonald song? So this is going to require a little bit of math. I'm just going to mostly take you through it. It's a sort of spectator math, right? So you don't need to be able to replicate this. But what I'd like you to get out of it is some connection between the final answer that we're going to derive and what it was about Old MacDonald that made us have that answer. How is it different from the dreidel song? It's different because each verse is getting a little bit longer. But what does that turn into in terms of the growth rate of the curve? Actually, before we do this, does anyone have a guess about what that shape is? It's not a line. What else could it be? There's at least two very natural guesses. Yeah. It could be exponential. That's right. So exponential curves have a very similar kind of flavor to them, where they start off kind of flat and then they accelerate upwards. What else could it be?
Positive curve.
What? I don't know what that. Well, it is positive. Yeah, it's got positive curvature, but like what function? Yeah, it could be like a parabola, like a quadratic curve that also has this kind of upward bowing to it. And in fact, any polynomial, cubic, quartic, it would be a little hard to tell from just looking at it exactly what the order of the polynomial is. But it does have a. And it could be exponential, could be quadratic kind of flavor to it. And at this point, we don't know, but what we're going to do is step through analyzing it piece by piece, and we're going to figure out which one it really is. It's not always easy to do that, but in this case, it's actually pretty straightforward. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to analyze the song by saying, well, let's figure out how many, what's an expression for the number of syllables in any particular verse? Say verse I, for any value of I. Well, looking at the slide a couple pages ago, it broke down into a 37-syllable block that's always the same, plus I repetitions of a 22-syllable block. And so verse I has in it 37 plus 22 times I syllables. Now, a song with N verses is going to have the number of syllables in verse 1, verse 2, verse 3, all the way up to whatever N is. So we're saying there's N verses, and it consists of a series of these expressions, saying how many syllables they are. So all we have to do is add this up. Now, it wouldn't be hard to add this up, except there's a letter in there, which makes it a little irritating. But that's okay. We can handle this. It just requires a little bit more thought and a little less, you know, playing with the calculator. So first thing we're going to do is notice that there's n of these expressions, right? 37 plus 1 times 22, 37 plus 2 times 22, all the way up to n. So there's n repetitions of this. So we can regroup all those 37s, pull them all out front, and say there's 37 times n plus 22. Multiples of 22 get repeated. So that's the 22 on the right there. How many of those are there? Well, there's one of those in the first verse, two of those in the second verse, three of those in the third verse, all the way up to n. So really, this boils down to, what's the sum of the numbers from 1 to n? What does that turn out to be? So that's what we're going to do now. Now we're going to solve the following subproblem. What's the sum of the first n integers? 1, 2, 3, all the way up to n. So I think a lot of mathematicians, but certainly mediocre mathematicians like me, like to reason in terms of things that are very concrete, very easy to imagine. So, yes, I want to solve it for all n, but let's just do n equals 6 first. If we can do it for 6, if we can't do it for 6, then we're hosed. We're not going to be able to do it for arbitrary n. But if we can do it for 6, maybe we'll see a trick that will let us extrapolate up to larger values of n. So here we go. What are the numbers 1 to 6? Well, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and 6. So I'm going to, I actually did this once with my daughter when she was little. We had a bunch of blocks lying around, and she thought we were playing with blocks. I was actually working on summations. So I noticed the following. So this is the sum of the numbers from 1 to 6. And how is that? Well, there's a pile of 1, and a pile of 2, and a pile of 3, and a pile of 4, and a pile of 5, and a pile of 6. All right? So the total number of blocks, those little squares, little purple squares, is the sum that we want. We want to know what's the sum of 1 plus 2 plus 3 plus 4 plus 5 plus 6. So 1 plus 2 plus 3 plus 4 plus 5 plus 6, the total number of blocks. All right. So, well, you can count them. It's some number, right? You can just, you know, 1 plus 2 is 3 plus another 3 is 6. You could sum them up. But for some patterns of blocks, we know simple formulas. Like if it were a rectangle, we could use multiplication to solve it, right? We could say, well, whatever the width is times whatever the height is, that's the total number of blocks. We don't actually have to sum them up. Well, how can we turn a triangle like this into a rectangle that would be easier to evaluate? Well, watch this. We take the rectangle and we copy it, flip it, and then lay it against itself. So there's two triangles that are absolutely identical next to each other, but now they made a rectangle. They fit together perfectly like a puzzle piece. And so what happened here? We're still 6 blocks high, but we're 7 blocks wide. All right? So how many total blocks are up there at the moment, without counting them? It's not quite 32, because now there's 7 blocks across the bottom. Right? Because when I copied the other one, I had to put it, to make them fit, I had to kind of have a little one block overlap there. 42. So it's 42. 7 times 6 is 42. So how many blocks were in our original pile? 21, right? Half of that, because half of them are the original ones, and then the other half is the copy. So we had to take the number of blocks, we multiplied it by the number of blocks plus 1, that's 6 times 7, sorry, the number of piles of blocks. 6 times 7, and we had to divide that whole thing by 2 to get the original number of blocks. So now we're getting closer to a formula that we can work with. Let's see, anything else to say about that? 42, all right. 42 is always very exciting, right? For certain class of science fiction of the year. All right, so what does that mean? What does that mean? So, do I have the formula? Okay, so the original problem was, what is 1 plus 2 plus 3 plus 4 plus 5 plus 6? And what we noticed is that you can get the answer by taking 6 times 1 more than 6, 7, and then dividing that whole thing by 2 to get 21. So, the same trick works for any n. 1 plus 2 plus 3 all the way up to n. You can take your n by n little triangle thing, make a copy of it, fit it with the other one, and now it's n times n plus 1 across the bottom. And we have to divide that whole thing by 2. So it looks like n times n plus 1, the whole thing divided by 2, which... Oops. Which we can now substitute into our old McDonald formula. Right? So where it says 1 plus 2 plus 3, da, 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 all the way up to n, we know that that's actually going to be equal to n times n plus 1 divided by 2. So if we plug that in there and then just simplify things using regular old algebra, we get 11 times n squared plus 48m. So this gives us, in a actually very tight, small little formula, exactly how many syllables will be in a old MacDonald song with n verses. All right, so what I'd like to know is, you don't need to be able to replicate that whole series of reasoning, but did you follow what I was doing here? What I was trying to do is say, all right, we don't know how long the old MacDonald song is. We'll say that it's n verses. We want to know how many syllables. How long will it take to sing that song? And through a series of steps, we found that it's take the number of verses, square it, multiply that by 11, and add to that the number of verses times 48. Okay? All right. So if you buy that, let's see. Oh, okay. So if you, I guess that was all I was going to say about that. So what does that mean? We saw a curve that was curved upwards. And we thought, hey, maybe it's growing exponentially with n. Maybe it's growing cubically with n. What is it? It's actually a quadratic, right? It's a second-degree polynomial. It's this is the growth rate. 11 times n squared plus 48 times n, which is a kind of parabola. So that's what we were actually seeing. It was a parabola. We couldn't tell. We knew it was something that tipped upwards. But by kind of reasoning it through, we ended up coming up with the fact that it was quadratic. All right, so we've seen two kinds of songs so far. One kind of song, as the number of verses grows, the number of syllables in the song grows linearly with the number of verses. So that was like generalized dreidel song, where each verse is kind of like all the other verses, but the words are different, but pretty much the same kind of thing. In a song like Old MacDonald's, where each verse has a little piece in it of all the previous verses, the growth rate ended up being something like n squared times a constant plus something else. That's two kinds of song, linear and quadratic. Here's a third kind. This is the generalized version of the bottles of beer song, where verse 99 of the bottles of beer song goes, 99 bottles of beer on the wall, 99 bottles of beer. If one of those bottles should happen to fall, 98 bottles of beer on the wall. So in general, verse I goes like this. There's 29 syllables that are about beer and walls and things like that. But then there's two times, you sing the number I twice, and you sing the number I minus 1 once. So the total number of syllables in a verse of the bottles of beer song is some constant, 29. Is that what it was? Yeah, 29. Plus, how long does it take to sing a number? So if the small numbers, they're all very, very small and short. But imagine that we're generalizing this to be able to be like, 10 billion bottles of beer in the wall, right? So if you have a really big number, 998,762 bottles of beer in the wall, a lot of the song is actually you just saying numbers. Well, how long does it take to say a number? How long does it take to say the number I? It's basically the number of digits in I. There's shortcuts, like if you happen to hit 10,000, that's only three syllables, but as soon as you get one more, one less than that, we're talking about 9,999 bottles of beer on the wall. So it really, it's growing roughly with the number of digits in the number. So let's just simplify it and say the way you sing the song, instead of saying 10,000 bottles of beer on the wall, you say 10,000 bottles of beer on the wall, 10,000 bottles of beer. So one syllable per digit, just to keep it simple. It's more or less correct. A little less. So how many digits, how many syllables is in I? How many digits does the number I have? It's a very slow-growing function. If you're talking about a number like Google, which is a 1 with 100 zeros after it, that's 101 syllables. That's not that long for a number that's really quite gigantic. So this is a very slow-growing function, but it is growing. As numbers get bigger, the number of syllables, the number of digits, is growing, just not very fast. Well, how fast? It turns out that's what logarithms are. I've given you a couple different definitions of logarithm. You may have seen logarithms in other forms in other classes. One of the things I said logarithm was, base 2 logarithm, is how many times can you take that number and divide it in half before you get down to 1 or smaller. Some people don't like logarithms, I apologize. But here's another definition of it. It's the number of, a base 10 logarithm is how many digits are in that number if you write it out in decimal. Or a base 2 logarithm is how many bits are in that number if you write it out in binary. This is an equivalent definition. So So the base 10 logarithm of a number is basically the number of times you can divide it by 10 before you reach 1 or less, but it's also, that's exactly the number of digits in it. Why? Well, if you take a number like 99,999, you divide it by 10, what are you doing? You're chopping off the bottom digit. You divide it by 10 again, you chop off the next digit. Divide it by 10 again, you chop off the next digit. Well, how many times can you do that?